Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gav Miffy and I am joined by...
Daniel Krupa.
And...
Rory Powers.
All right, dude.
Mahalo surfing.
No.
Irish dancing.
Don't be silly. What's your name?
Joe Scrabbles.
Joe Scrabbles. Don't ever pretend to be Rory again. Don't be something you're not.
Like,
he bloody is. Pretends he's American.
It's all right, isn't it? How's everyone feeling? We just rammed some peanut butter magnums. Well, me and Joe rammed a peanut butter magnum down our throats. You got something different. What do you have?
Double raspberry. So
double raspberry.
Different magnum.
That's
different
like needs. A magnum fucked a good Cornetto.
You know what? That's how I'd describe it.
That's how the lady in Sainsbury's described it.
Peanut butter.
We're going to get three magnums. We're going to wrap. Sir, can you please leave?
Yeah.
Peanut butter magnums in our local Sainsbury's are
literally
cheaper than water right now. They're 40p.
Yeah, they've mispriced them.
It's fantastic.
Why would we bring two back?
Because we bought them and just went, holy shit.
We felt naughty. We felt we were
going
to go out.
I know where I'm going. Back.
I'm honestly thinking about going and buying about 20
yeah.
and then putting them in the freezers.
Like, for American listeners, they will think we're talking about condoms.
Or guns.
That's happened.
And we are.
Yeah.
Peanut butter guns.
Rammed them up our mouth and then fucked Cornetto. Works.
It's been a relatively quiet week this week, hasn't it? But something cool just happened. Far Cry 5 trailer dropped.
Good segue.
Good, no.
I liked it.
I thought, what are you doing with your feet?
I don't know. I'm wiggling about. I don't know what's going on.
Are you playing footsie with each other?
No. I just need the table as well. Everything's going on. My legs are... I've got sort of dancing bean legs.
I'm seeing a lady at the moment who is a fucking fidgeter.
Mm.
And this morning when I woke up, I just went, what the fuck is going on? But I obviously didn't mean it with that kind of like anger coming out of it.
You've had a lot of that today. Earlier, yeah. I put a coffee not on a coaster on our new table. He just went, Joe!
That's the thing. You think I'm rock and roll, but I'm actually not. I love coasters.
Because you remember the primal trauma of leaving that ring mark on your flatmate's coffee table.
I've heard about
that. Why.
That's really bad.
You get her a fidget spinner.
Who? Oh, right. My housemate, no.
I'll take your mind off the stain.
Daniel. Yeah, I could, but I don't think it's going to stop her like fidgeting when she's asleep and stuff. I don't know.
All right. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help.
That was a weird fidgety move you just did.
Good. We're not on video anymore, so you guys can't see it. Sorry, guys.
He did jumping jacks for 20 minutes. We had to cut it out.
Yeah. So please keep telling us how much you want to see the video.
Because
it hurts us so. So, Far Cry 5. Looks right, doesn't it?
It looks really good. Mm. It's not out for ages, though.
No, I thought it might have been a little cheeky. Oh, it's announced. It's out
I
in November.
It's going to be a fallout. Yeah. But no, Ubisoft Montreal has made a game in which you kill... probably racist, religious, fundamentalist hillbillies.
It's about time.
It's basically the same plot as The Handmaid's Tale, which we were talking about last week.
Does seem really like similar to that, but like, maybe a little bit earlier on.
Yes, like in the early throes.
Yeah, before they've won.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. I like the idea of it. I'm pointing at both of you because I don't know who said it, but think that it's going to be a co-op thing because they've released... Is it like theme trailers or something like that?
Yeah, so
theme teasers?
We know that you play... Because people in the US have seen a little more than we have.
Right.
We know that you play a junior deputy who's just joined the police force in Hope County, Montana, where it's set.
Right. It's like Dewey from Scream.
Fictional place. So we know you play them, but then they've got these three character trailers. One is an angry preacher with a gun in his Bible.
Yes.
One is a sort of hillbilly man who has a sort of Cessna seaplane that he attaches a minigun to the front of.
And he looks exactly like Daryl.
Yeah.
He does.
It's all
I'm
got
sure
a big
that's intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a cool bar lady whose dad's been murdered.
Sassy.
And she's making loads of Molotov cocktails put behind the bar.
And yeah. Gav immediately identified with the sassy bar lady.
Sassy bar lady. Mm. That's where I would be going.
She'd scream at ring marks. She wouldn't want that on her bar.
Not in Sassy's bar.
Not in Sassy's bar.
Hashtag sassy, hashtag no filter. Have you seen that this week?
No.
Talking of Ubisoft, just as a slight tangent. You know, they leaked the presentation for this Rabbids game. And there's a picture. That's really bad. It's like an internal marketing deck for...
Oh, did you tell me about this? Yeah.
I told you about a bit of it. I hadn't seen this.
There's a picture of one of the rabbits dressed up as Peach, and it says hashtag sassy, hashtag no filter.
That's like defines that rabbit's personality.
I like that.
Yes, because you're on fucking Instagram all the time. Yeah,
also, the word shells is misspelled as shelves.
Is it?
But like, they've got this thing where it's like, here's our stages, like surprise announcement. Then the second stage is convince people. You're like, you know that your game's fucked if you've built in
adapt or die. We've made real rabbits. And they will fuck up any journalist done like this game.
The boffins in the lab have made real rabbits.
The boffins back in Montreal.
Yeah.
I really like the sort of the Monty theme boffins of the game. I really like the idea that the guy's just taking a job and he's like, oh yeah, sweet. Like, got his new job.
Little tiny town. Where is it? Hope County. Should be fine.
He's driving in. It says Sinners County on the thing. He's like, alarm bell's ringing. And he pulls up and just like, oh, that man looks like he's drowning that old woman and thing. Probably all right. In Sinners County.
Not for me. Don't want to get involved in the local church.
Not first day. That's something. Third week I'll be like, oh, Daryl, maybe stop drowning all the old women, is it?
Is that a minigun on that plate?
You got a permit for that?
Bears everywhere.
He's like turned up, the sheriff is just like, he's like, oh, is it quiet here? The sheriff's like, fuck, mate, it's a pain in the ass. I hate it here.
What?
I do love
I've been asking for a deputy for 12 years since the last one got murdered.
I do love that they've made, you know, a point of quite a scary, dark-themed trailer with the ironic hillbilly music and everything. Yeah. And then there's just this one shot of a guy being chased by a bear.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves.
Yeah, I like that.
Not much that. What are the wildlife is in there? Some cows.
Yeah, some cows. I don't know what happened to my voice.
There's a wolf, big old wolf on the poster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, with a cross on its head.
Another, like, oh, it's the Last Supper, like, tableau thing. Stop doing that.
Who's done that?
Loads of people do it.
Who?
Always do it for TV and stuff like that.
Oh, TV's different.
Yeah, like fifth season, like final season.
Exactly. Yeah. Sopranos definitely did it. Big Love definitely did it.
Actually, I bet Hannibal did it as well.
Hannibal did it.
I think
confirmed.
Hannibal's all right.
That makes more sense. He has supper all the time.
And eating people.
Yeah.
I like the preacher thing. I like that kind of stuff anyway. Like when people blindly follow a preacher for no reason. Like, there will be blood. Like, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so good.
The way it looks like everything I wanted out of Outlast, but was too scared to play Outlast about. Like, Outlast is too good. Creepy, but I love that rural gothic horror.
Yeah.
Like, sort of Christians turned cultists. Yeah. Thing.
Video. No, we don't have the video anymore, but Joe just fucked his mic.
My pop shield went all over. But yeah, Outlast was too scary, so this is going to be fun because I get to be
in
a big truck.
Too scary?
This is for me. It's quite intense, but
you can't have fun in that environment. No, like, it's really oppressive.
Like, I'm super jumpy anyway, but I was playing it. I was just like, when I was playing, like, the first 4 hours of Resi 7, I was terrified, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I had to play, like, a bit of Outlast to capture some stuff for it, and I was like, this is just boring. Like, it's just cheap. It's just really cheap. Yeah. It's like, you walk down a corridor in a school, an abandoned school, and then you hear, like ha ha ha, like, little fucking laughing in the background. It's just like, then you turn around, there's a little girl with long black hair. Fuck off.
Scary is the wrong word. I mean, stressful. That feeling of, like, waiting to have someone go,
you can't just run around and enjoy that environment.
No. And you don't get to learn as much about stuff when you're constantly hiding behind fucking grates.
But I'm up for that. I was playing that co-op. Hanging out in your bar.
If it is actually co-op, that'd be awesome.
Well, the last one had two player, and this, I think it's pointing to four.
Good. I'm glad. Well done.
Bye.
Ubisoft. A bunch of us have been watching a documentary series on Netflix called The Keepers.
Speaking about religion gone bad.
Cooper, I think you've watched the most of it. Take it away.
It's quite a hard one to put on me, isn't it? Like, this is a hard show.
The first episode is, I've only seen the first episode.
It's a barrel of laughs, the first one.
But it's like, it's not that bad. It kind of sets up the thing and you're like, shit, okay, some bad stuff is happening.
I want that quote to exist out on the internet.
It's not that bad.
The Keepers, Gav Murphy. It's not that bad.
Episode one.
I've seen worse.
But episode two, so I was watching it with a friend and it was... like the blurb that Netflix have put on episode two really spoils it. Go, like, everyone go check it out when you're watching the show or after you
watch
it.
I know what you're saying, spoil it. Like, It's real though. Like, yeah. it's kind of like, say spoilers. It's weird to say spoilers about a thing that's real.
Yeah,
I guess.
But I was so hungover, and we watched the first episode, and then we were just like lying on bed, going, "Oh, let's watch the second episode." And I was like, "I'm not watching that."
So the first one. So I guess if you've watched Making a Murderer,
yeah,
there, you know, it's Netflix's big budget, like true crime. And the way that they've done it, there's like a mystery dynamic to it.
Yeah.
You don't know what's happened. So there's a nun that was killed in 1969, I think.
Yeah, sounds right.
And this, all the years later, nobody knows who killed her. And her former students are investigating her murder.
They're incredible mysterious death. As well. The two women are brilliant.
Great double acts. Like, yeah. There's one who just likes researching, and there's another one who like asks tough questions.
Yeah.
And she drinks Chardonnay in a bar.
Yeah,
I love when she orders that glass of rosé. She goes, "Oh, what wines have you got?" And they go, "We've got one." And she's like, "Oh, it was going to be that one."
Yeah, she's like, "That's the one I drink in my house."
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Is it the one in the? Is it in the first episode where she talks to the ex
policeman?
Oh, she's so nice and
so funny. Because like, he goes, she goes, because he's obviously a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, he obviously knows something. And she's so nice to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she puts me, I was like, you two-faced prick. No. But then actually, she's like, when he's trying to drive away, she's got her hand basically in the car.
Yeah.
So
she's
he can't
sticking
drive
her
away.
Head like she's, an evil yeah. drive through.
That's
worker.
Her, like, that's like her Columbo conceit you know, being super nice.
And she just won't let it go. Because it's like a million times when you're watching, especially thrillers and things like that, you just go, this scene could be helped by a simple conversation or one person asking the question that all of the audience is screaming.
Yeah.
But I was doing that, and the woman just fucking straight up asks it. And when he doesn't answer it properly, she just asks and keeps asking it in a different way.
She has this amazing
so
thing
good.
Where once she kind of gives up, like she asks him the same question about 7 different ways.
Yeah.
And eventually she kind of gives up. Turns around and looks directly into the camera
yeah.
and basically rolls her eyes. Yeah. And you're just like, she's incredible.
She just goes, cunt.
You murdering fucker.
But I guess this is a similar thing to Making a Murderer in S-Town, the idea of like local conspiracy. So this is in Baltimore. And as the episodes unfold, you realize that stuff has been covered up and there's bigger things to do with the church and the church's entanglement with like the police force. I have no idea if it comes to any sort of resolution.
No.
Cool. But it is properly harrowing.
The second episode, I've only watched the first two. The second episode is one of the toughest things I've watched on TV for a long time.
I was like to watch it last night, but we got too hammered. I was like, I've heard the second episode is really hard, so I'm not.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Like, I was like crying and stuff. Yeah. Like, I had tears.
Serious?
Like, yeah.
It's really bad because I listen to a lot of true crime stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not the toughness that I was expecting. It wasn't like grisly. It's just sad. Like
it's sad and graphic.
Gutturally and sad.
People's lives have absolutely been destroyed.
Yeah.
And
all of these people
it,
are
like,
so
shit.
Incredibly brave.
Yeah.
Like if you can't, you know, if you're a sensitive person, it's not going to be for you. But like even if you're built for this stuff, it's not. It's not nice.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. It's great podcast fodder.
That's the thing, it was boiling hot on Sunday as well. So just like, just sitting inside watching people's lives get destroyed.
Destroyed.
Yeah, so check that out. Joe, you've been watching American Gods.
Yeah, on my first ever episode on this podcast, I said that Hannibal was my favourite TV show of all time, which I'd constantly gone back and forth on, but I think it's probably true.
Mm.
The showrunner of that has
probably
now
gone
begun...
back and forth on it more since you've watched Mad Men, right?
Well, a little bit. Genuinely, I was thinking about that the other day.
You got him, I got him.
Hook, line, and stinker.
The one that Gav identifies with cult leaders.
You do look a bit like the guy from Far Cry 5 as well.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed cult leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't watch The Keepers. It's not that bad. Watch Mad Men.
American Gods is Brian Fuller and another guy whose name I don't know because he's not Brian Fuller's new show where they're adapting a famous Neil Gaiman novel that I never got around to reading despite owning for years.
Is it one novel?
Yeah.
Yes, very big novel.
It's chunky one.
Thick old thing. It's essentially Hannibal but with all of the reserve of police procedural style story completely removed. It's just batshit crazy. It's Brian Fuller's complete obsession with watching sweaty people have sex and real close-ups of horrible wounds just blown up to this ludicrous supernatural proportion.
Sold.
Everyone in it takes a long
time.
You have
me at sweaty.
It takes a... Oh my... Like, the sex in this show is absurd.
They never get them out as well.
Firstly, more dicks than I've ever seen on TV, including erections, dick? Which I didn't know you were allowed to show.
What, fully erect?
What?
Proper no erections.
I thought that was like a no-go, but not on Amazon Prime.
I think they might be CG.
It's fucking, I think they might be sweat.
Amazon Prime, they can get you an erection within the hour with Amazon Now.
I think they might be CG lob-ons.
No way.
Yeah, genuinely.
Did you see Ricky Whittle's?
What? This is what, sorry? This
I haven't seen Ricky Whittle's yet.
Okay.
CGI stiffies?
I think so. Yeah. One of them, I know you don't see,
fact,
you don't see
years,
his penis.
Yeah.
You see a lot of Joel Murray, who you'll know from Mad Men.
Who's he?
He's what? In Mad Men?
Yeah.
He's Freddie Rumsen.
Oh.
You know he is.
No,
Bill
I know
Murray's
that.
Brother.
I know he's Bill Murray's brother.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know he was in American Gods.
He's in American Gods for a scene that I won't spoil, but is the most absurd and hilarious sex scene I've ever seen. It's
is
about
he good now? He's good as Freddie.
I can't say
top
why
five
he's good.
He's good at getting rammed by a magnum.
Pissing himself. Leaving. He's only in about two episodes, isn't he?
Yeah.
He turns up in the background a lot. So, yeah, the sex is incredible. There is the most gratuitous gay sex scene I've ever seen on TV, and it's somehow beautiful.
I love that you added on TV.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Mate.
Not live.
No. I've been to Amsterdam.
Is there rimming in... American Gods.
Is there
That's
women?
What everyone wants to know.
I thought you said women.
Yeah. I've not seen overt rimming,
Done
but it's
it.
Certainly implied.
Done with
There, I mean, basically, the sex is incredible. Like, okay. No matter your denomination,
it's something for you.
You're going to love it.
I can't get the fact that Ricky Whittle from Hollyoaks is doing so well.
It's nuts. The thing is, what? his yeah. wife is playing.
He's in Hollyoaks. I think he was in, what's it called as well?
Hollyoaks.
Like, Hollyoaks Nights.
Yeah, he was in Hollyoaks Nights.
He was trying to get it out in that. I mean, you can't put that on.
I'm
CG
pretty sure he was
everywhere
in fucking, what was that amazing Sky One show about the football team?
Dream Team.
Dream Team.
He was in Dream Team, yeah. I had a Hartchester United top.
Well done. I like that.
Actually, it was full kit.
Oh my God, you're a full kit Hartchester
wanker.
We played
Sunday League in it. Like, that was our kit.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's him and his wife who... Well, I won't get into that. His wife is played by the girl who played Violet Baudelaire in a series of unfortunate events, Emily Browning.
Yeah.
So the last time I saw her properly, she was like 13. In this.
She is not 13.
No, it's upsetting.
I really want to watch it. I've seen a lot
fantastic.
Of people say it's just mad.
Yeah, and
so
like,
it's good.
So it's all on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
A new episode every Monday.
Right.
So there's four at time of recording.
Some stars in America, isn't it?
Yes. But it's... I can't say that my enjoyment is completely non-ironic. Like, there's elements where you're just like, this is fucking stupid.
It's just bonkers. No, like, is there a thread? Like, is it something propelling
it
forward?
Yeah, but it still hasn't explained what that thread is for four episodes. It's essentially, it's a big road trip where Ricky Whittle's follows Ian McShane around backwards America. And Ian McShane is incredible.
They talk about how they came from humble beginnings, but now they rule American TV.
That sounds like some weird show that's been pitched like for Discovery Channel. Yeah. Ricky Whittle's American Adventure with Ian McShane.
With Al Swearengen.
What are you doing on this trip? Meeting probably American gods.
Yeah.
And ice truckers.
Yeah, it's this map.
There's a bit of fishing in here as well.
Fishing, dangerous fishing.
Robson Green turns up.
And then a bit later, a bit of barbecue. Ricky Whittle eating barbecue. Imagine it in your brain. Right, here you go. He's 10 million.
But you have to imagine American gods. Awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You should watch it. It's really,
really
weird.
I'm going to check it out. But like, I'm keeping a lot of stuff for the plane for E3.
It'll be a good plane one as well. Yeah. Like, me and my girlfriend watched four episodes in a row the other day because it's just like...
With little kids running around and Gav's just there. It's got
we'll
big
be CGI.
As if Gav cares.
No.
Have we shown it?
Look at that.
Grow up!
That's CGI, that is.
Have you...
He's got to learn sometimes, Sharon.
When I was a kid, they made T-1000 out of that. Now, whoppers.
Have we talked before about the worst thing you've watched on a plane and been embarrassed by?
Black Mirror, episode one, when he's fucking a pig.
Yeah, that's bad.
And I'd stop that before that scene. I was on a flight to Toronto. Mm-hmm. And the other one is...
Toronto.
Answer.
Yeah.
And then also one time just... This woman kept looking over at my iPad, and every time she looked over, there was a... I did that bullseye thing. I flicked a peanut in her mouth. She kept looking over, and there was always plane crashes on my screen. I think she thought I was a pervert. Like, I was watching.
What were you watching?
I was watching Quantum of Solace.
Oh, right, okay.
The bit where he like, takes the plane down, and then one of the final destinations I didn't know synced up with the first one, so it ended with a big plane crash.
Oh, man.
I just kept looking over.
Just a supercar plane crash.
I just had a blanket on. I think she probably thought it was. This is what I do. I'm not even going anywhere. This is my favorite. This is my holiday, being on this plane watching this.
CG Whopper.
I came very late to Game of Thrones because I was just like, I watched the first episode and it didn't click with me. But then I had, I think it was four long flights in 1 month, like there and back. So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to get into Game of Thrones. I'm going to sit down and watch it. And yeah, just watching that all the time, just on my laptop as well. I just felt like a pervert all the time. Anytime something happened, like especially like in the early series as well, they really made a bit more of a thing.
Yeah, like well, it's also that brothel.
And yeah, exactly.
Quite
heavy. That's what it was. And like the
that's smart.
Lady.
Get them in with the tits.
Yeah.
They'll stay for the murders.
What was the name of that redhead lady from Game of Thrones? I loved
Ygritte.
No,
early on.
Oh,
early
Roz.
On. Roz. Roz.
Roz, you beast.
She's amazing.
That sounds much more enjoyable than how I watched season one of Game of Thrones.
How'd you watch that?
I broke up with my girlfriend of 7 years and I was sleeping in the living room.
That's how I
downstairs,
watched.
Downstairs, and I just watched an episode every night.
That's how I watched relationships, so you had to keep living in the place.
Yeah, because in London, I had nowhere to go.
How long was yours?
Not as long as yours, Joe.
Oh boy.
Mine was like a month. And I
how long
were
you living there?
5 months.
That's
in a studio flat.
Shut up.
That's weird.
5 months.
Is it like that episode of Steptoe and Son where you divided the flat down the middle? Yeah. You got half the telly each.
No, she just went and saw her new boyfriend.
Oh, Joe.
I watched all of Futurama. Don't remember any of it because it's just a haze of sadness.
I woke up with a girl of 9 years and we lived in the same place together, and she made considerable amount more in her job than I did.
I remember.
And we had 3 months left on our lease. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because obviously I've broken up with her. I've got to move out. So I broke up with her. She left that day to go to her friend. She was like, I'm going to come back tomorrow. Then she came back the next day. And I came home from work and she was packing up all her stuff. And I was like, what's happening? She was like, I'm going to move in with our friend Sarah for just forever. And I was like, oh. Well, that's good for me, isn't it? I had a great time in one of the best flats I've ever lived in for 3 months.
Getting Jack happy in your new bachelor pad.
But actually, she kept the keys and sweet. I was like, I said, can I have the keys? And she was like, well, no, I technically still own it.
She could come in and check
it
on you.
That's the thing. I was just like, it was always like danger sex with these new women because I was just like, at any point, my ex-girlfriend could come back. Which made it all the more
I just
sweet.
Do you say that to her? It's prepare. This is going to be danger sex. And she's like, they were like, what?
Just I remember got a new welcome mat that just said that on it.
I don't even have really, the keys to this flat.
I had a really girly quilt, like because she'd bought everything for this flat. So everything was like decorated really girly. But then when she came back like a month later, I'd kind of just like done it so it was a little bit like cooler. And she was just like, "Why did you buy a new? Why did you buy a new quilt?" I was like, "I don't know." Like, because I don't want someone to come home and go, this guy's definitely got a girlfriend.
Like, your new quill has, like, got, like, a stock image of a motorbike on it.
There's a man with a big thumbs up.
It's just a gun.
Why is he
it's got the Jack Daniels logo on it. The massive poster of Scarface in the living room.
Why have we got, like, a tin sign that says Coca-Cola on it? Why does this look like an 80s boys' bedroom?
No, it's like a woman with, like, two steins of beer with massive boobs on this neon sign.
Look at that. Tennis player scratching her arse.
Gone fishing.
I've just got like an exact replica of the Bada Bing sign from Sopranos outside the flat. Yeah, good. Injustice 2.
Oh yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Well, we've got off track here. I've forgotten how to speak coherently about things that aren't dicks.
I jumped down on you.
Injustice 2 is brilliant and makes no sense that it's as good as it is. It shouldn't be as good as it is.
I like hearing you play it at your desk and you giggle.
Oh, it makes me laugh
how
constantly.
How preposterous it is.
It's so nice. Like, it's all the bullshit of superheroes in one place. Like, Flash's special move is running so fast through time that he smashes his enemy into the Sphinx and knocks its nose off.
Oh, yeah.
Goes back further in time the other way, which makes no sense. The Speed Force has no direction, apparently. Smashes them into a T-Rex's face and then appears just before he began the special move and smashes them into themselves.
What?
It's which awesome. Means that there's a perpetual time loop of people being smashed into each other.
My only issue with that move, I love it. I love watching
it. I wish it did different places each time.
I wish it did different places every time.
I guess with all of them, once you get you've seen them. It's
just, oh, man, it gets
I've watched
boring.
You do that fucking Supergirl one so many times around the fucking
sun. Oh, he's got
his,
that bullshit movie does as well, which disappears behind
on the
you.
Other side of the screen.
Oh, yeah. I've had enough of that.
There's a lot of that.
It's really good. Like, I didn't expect to like it as much as I do, because I'm not massively into fighting games, really. But it's so good.
The story's great, really over the top and well acted. The facial animation's the best thing, genuinely the best I've ever seen in a game. Like, better than Injustice.
Yeah, because, that's the thing. Even in, super high-budget games, amazing production. Like, GTA, some lip-syncing, it's off. It's not quite right. But I saw some cutscenes, Wonder Woman talking. It was brilliant.
There's bits with Harley speaking where it's not Uncanny Valley because it looks wrong. It's Uncanny Valley because it looks right. That doesn't make... It's weird that she looks so... dynamic.
Yeah. Also, you just got that really lovely new telly as well. So I've just been watching you play it on that, and it's stunning.
It's so good. And just they've got really smart ways of keeping you interested if you're not a competitive fighting person. I don't want to ever go online and play against another human.
No.
But they've got this multiverse thing, which is daily challenges but along set themes. Cool. So the one I was playing yesterday was you've gone, because it's all the different Earths, essentially, with all the different superhero types, which accounts for why they all look mad, because they're all dressed up in different colours and gear and stuff.
Yeah.
On the one I was on, it was you're tracking down Red Arrow instead of Green Arrow, and you're beating up all the people that he's trying to kill before he gets to them, because you're trying to put them in jail so he can't kill them or something. But for some reason, he's off screen, and every so often you can trigger him just firing a load of arrows onto the screen, so you've got this extra special move, which is Red Arrow. On another one, it was you're helping Cheetah out, so Cheetah's your sort of tag team partner.
Yeah.
There was one where it was the weather wizard has cursed this place with tornadoes, and it just meant tiny little tornadoes were all over every stage, and you could throw people into them. It's brilliant.
I think that's really the cool thing about it, because obviously because of the license, people will buy that game because they want to play as those characters. But if you're not into fighting games, you just get bored really easily if that stuff isn't in there.
Yeah.
And the gear thing is amazing. Everyone thought it was going to be shit.
So funny.
It barely makes a difference. I've got Joker in a stupid little motley hat, a jester's hat now.
Yeah.
You can just do really stupid stuff to people or make them look incredibly cool.
Yeah. I really like all the names for all the gear stuff. Someone's had a proper laugh writing all that.
Yeah, it's amazing. What was it? I got for Captain Cold. He's got augmented crime gloves. That's so good.
But it's the thing where that. I was reading some of them that we were playing in last Thursday, and I was reading some of them going this isn't so bad that it's funny. This is funny. Someone has gone, we're going to have a laugh with this, and they've written it purposely funny.
Well,
it's
procedurally generated in some way, so you get so some of the adjectives are just one of them's destructive. You see destructive everywhere, and that just means it gives you more strength.
Right.
But then some of it, Joker's got I think it's evil coat.
Yeah.
And you can get destructive evil coat or augmented evil coat. Nice. So it kind of does that procedurally generated format, thing, but it's all basically the same.
Yeah.
But that's why it's funny, because you never quite know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So you just get really stupid.
Who is your favourite character?
Who's your main?
Who are you maining?
Not necessarily maining anyone at the moment. Flash, I'm best with, I think. He just does very interesting speedy moves. And his special ability is he slows down time just a little bit, which is enough to annoy the other person, which I really enjoy.
I really like when we were having this conversation in the sandwich shop last Friday, and me and you were just talking about our favourite thing. And it's a full sandwich shop, and I just I was just standing waiting for our sandwich, and I just said really loud, "Batman's really good."
I was like a child,
just screaming it out.
You know what's good? Batman.
It'd be great if someone recognised you from IGN. God, those IGN guys really know their shit. Oh, that sandwich was good as well, wasn't it?
My God. If you're ever in Shoreditch, go to this place called Trade.
Trade.
And get either their Reuben or their Cuban.
I've had some bloody Reubens in my time, lads. And I will tell you, that is up there in the top three Reubens I've ever had.
It's the second best sandwich I've ever had.
What's your first?
There's a place in Montreal co-owned by Celine Dion that does a... That does a salt beef sandwich that... Me and Andy Farrant from Outside Xbox went.
Yeah.
And it was
name dropping celebs on our podcast.
The big boys. It was a 40-minute walk from the sandwich shop back to where we were going.
Yeah.
And we literally talked about the sandwich for the entire way.
Good sandwich.
It changed my life. Mm. I've never eaten anything like it. And it's big.
Best sandwich?
you ever had?
Oh, don't just drop that on me. You've already asked me to think of one thing for the podcast.
Mine was Mishkin's, but it's closed down. Used to be doing a fucking amazing Reuben that was just so big. But the best thing about this one that we had, was it Trade? The best thing about that was it was amazing, filling, but I didn't feel like I wanted to kill myself after.
It wasn't the guilt you get associated with some American sandwiches. Yeah. French dip I had when I went to Florida as a kid, because suddenly, as a little northern lad, it was okay to dip your whole sandwich in a pot of gravy.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Your world, yeah.
So incredible. Good.
There's an amazing French dip place that was on Man vs. Food in LA. If we have time while we're out there, we should go. Because they're really cheap as well, so you can have like four and be like, this is
just make a video out of this.
Absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Frenchy dippy.
Lads, I got a question. Have you ever given a game / TV show / movie a second chance after originally hating it?
That's different, second chance. Because you said, did we hate something and then like it the second time? Because I can't think of a single thing.
Any question? Essentially, I watched the first two episodes of Master of None, Series 1, when it first came out, and I despised it.
I don't understand.
Like, I love Aziz Ansari. I've seen him a bunch of times, like, live. Mm. Like, I love him in Parks and Rec. I love him in most films, even that fucking horrible pizza one. Like, it's like 30 minutes or less.
Oh, that was a sad film.
He's great in it. But I hated Master of None. Everyone was going on about how brilliant it was, and I was like, what's wrong with everyone? Why is everyone stupid except me and my ex-girlfriend at the time?
Again.
But... this girl that I'm seeing now, she really, really likes it. And I was like, do you know what? I like you. You know stuff. Like, so I was like, let me get...
Stop fidgeting.
Doesn't trust us.
No. I've never heard you talk about Master of None.
I did it. It was part of my interview process for this job.
Oh, yeah. but they don't let me part of that process.
Well, you subbed it for me.
Yeah. Anyway. How did I not get the referral fee for getting you this job?
I didn't get asked to refer anyone.
Get out.
You don't deserve this job. No, in fact, I did. And I did put you down.
Well,
you got stiffed, mate.
I'm going to follow that
up. Maybe that wasn't a thing then.
I'm going to follow that up 2 years later. But yeah, I started watching the third episode of Master of None the other day because I thought I'd just skip the second. I didn't even make it through the second episode, but I went to the third episode, which is, I was like, this is a brilliant episode. It's like him taking a girl, deciding who to take on a date to a Father John Misty show.
Yes.
Now, I love Father John Misty, so that was amazing that he was in it and actually singing. And it's just a really, really good episode. Like, he basically has three people that he could take on a date, and it's like it does a lot of stuff that Aziz Ansari is really interested in, which is like the idea of like modern romance. He's got a book called Modern Romance, which is about like how hard it is now to date and be single because everyone is so different. And he's like, he does a lot in his stand-up about like fear of missing out and how people are fine with just like mugging people off and just being like canceled in the last minute when something better comes along and things like that. But he does a lot of that, so that's a lot of the episode is that. And then he decides on this one girl, takes her to the gig, and like she's basically a fucking nightmare. Like, she looks like the most normal one and the loveliest one because she's like this waitress, and then like she just turns up, starts doing like Cartman impressions, and she's like,
"You like South Park about that?
You like South Park?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's a funny show." and then it has dated because she goes, "Oh, can you just record this Vine for me real quick?" And then she's just talking normal. And in the Vine, she's like this proper like street, like, "Yeah, I'm down here at the Father John Misty show, Miami." I watched that bit so many times. It's so funny. And then she just acts like an absolute like jerk. She gets chucked out of the thing, and then there's this amazing bit where the bouncer goes, "All right, man, you gotta leave with it." And he just goes, "I think we're gonna stay in." He goes, "Yeah, that's a good call."
That's the one where at the end he meets the girl from the first episode, right?
Yeah, and it's a really amazing thing as well. I hope that continues to be a thing.
It is.
Oh, good. Yeah, and I've completely done an absolute turnaround on it.
It's so good.
I watched two episodes the other night. I was like, this is good.
And also, Eric Wareheim's good in it as well.
He is good. It took me a while. I think the thing I don't like about it is they don't talk like normal people ever.
Yeah.
No, actually, not ever. Because sometimes in the date, he's talking like a normal person. Mm. But then when he's talking with his friends, he does these little weird like asides and quips. It's like, "That's not how I expected that conversation to go down." Like, he literally says that.
That does strike me as what he'd be like in real life.
You think? Yeah.
I think he's probably quite difficult. I love him, but I bet he's tough. Yeah.
But
apparently, the new series is incredible as well.
Is it?
Yeah, I see a lot of people.
Don't look up like even what it's about because it's actually kind of a spoiler.
Right.
Like just the the situation.
Oh, I know where he is.
Yeah.
But, just like what's the teaser?
You fucking idiot. Come
on, moron. But have you guys ever changed your mind on something?
No. No, genuinely, I can't think of a single time.
Really?
I'm such a dick.
Not a game or TV show.
I struggle with
movie.
This. Like, I did think of something.
What was it?
It's a bit pretentious.
What was it?
Well, it's not.
Go on.
2001 Space Odyssey. I watched that as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, because I, you know, when you're like younger and you start getting into stuff and you're like, oh, I watched The Shining. I was like, it's brilliant. I want to watch every film made by this dude. Mm. And I put that on. It's like space and it's like sci-fi.
Here we go. It's a slog when you're a kid.
It's absolute fucking slog.
And it ain't alien. It ain't alien.
It's not alien.
The worst part of it is the first bit seems really good and spacey. Yeah. And then it just turns into nutcase business.
Yeah. And it's just like, the bit when he's arriving on the space station goes on for ages. Yeah. And then I saw it a few years ago at the cinema, which is probably how it's meant to be seen.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh, that's what this is.
Yeah.
It's just like a big experience. Like, I know that sounds really pretentious, but it's like it is a bit of cinema and it's moving images and music and it's that.
Even that last bit, even the boring psychedelic section is all right in a cinema.
I bet in the cinema.
It's just bonkers, yeah.
Yeah.
Blade
Runner as well, you mentioned.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like, again, I think it's one of those things where it's more, you see it and you don't quite.
Oh, man, when you watch it with a kid, you're like, just like, oh, awesome, Indiana Jones and Han Solo in a film. This is great.
Yeah, by the guy who did Alien.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You watch it,
please. Going,
what?
I've watched Blade Runner once and it was at uni and I thought it was bollocks. And I've been meaning to go back to it. Yeah, I've been meaning to give it another try because I think I was looking for, like, when you're at uni, I was like, I was looking for
subtext.
This is really, I could probably have a poster of this. But I'm not going to have a poster unless I've actually seen it.
I'll take down the tennis player scratching her arse.
What posters did you have on your...
I had Flight of the Conchords.
Nice.
I had...
God, I'm older than you.
The Strokes. Is This It album cover.
Best album that's ever been made.
Wrong. So. What else did I... I had some bullshit. I had Moon because I was pretty cool.
God, I don't
know. Moon and
I think I graduated.
I had Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's good.
Star Wars.
Good.
And Jaws.
Good. Yeah, you were a cool guy though. I had
Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
Halloween.
Nice.
I had Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Fucking hell, you two were destined for each other.
Exactly.
Why am I even here?
What do you have on your walls right now, students? Let us know.
@_UK. Yeah, that's a really good question,
isn't it? Yeah. Just come up with a fucking hummus.
Oh my god!
Right, tell me something else I've come up with. Keyword countdown.
Did you actually come up with it this time?
Nope. Yeah. Keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword countdown. The Wraith 2.
No, do you know what? After I asked you guys to send in keyword countdowns to
He's really took his foot off the pedal.
But that's always what you want, isn't it? Like Zuckerberg didn't create Facebook because he wanted to be logging into Facebook every day. And
Skynet.
You want to make something.
You want to make Skynet so it's self-sufficient.
And you do no work.
Gav keeps turning up in black polo necks. I'm the Steve Jobs of this.
So I opened up my DMs for you lovely people to send me in keyword countdowns. And do you know what? Some of you send in some absolute bangers. I'm not... Obviously, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. One person sent in 4 films. So what am I going to do with that, clown?
Jesus Christ.
But lots of people have sent some really, really good ones. We also had some feedback from the dude who got married. And he said it a really lovely thing as well, which is good. So well done on getting married.
His was very good as well.
His was very good, yeah. So this one comes from Marcus Fry from Dorset, who wrote to me and says, just want to say I love the podcast and so I've taken the time to write a keyword countdown for you. Hopefully it's up to your standard. Well, I've had a read through and it is.
Wait, we should also talk about the fact that some guys in Buffalo, New York have had an actual series of keyword countdown ended with a final and sent in a picture. They've got a trophy and everything.
Yeah.
Like, as we were saying yesterday and you took offence to, that's more effort than we put in
on
our own podcast.
Yeah, we don't have a trophy.
He's mentioned a trophy.
Yeah. I know.
I'm yet to see said trophy.
I need to get a trophy. I'll get a trophy.
But get it fucking engraved with my name for season one.
Well, that's
I'm
what I'll do.
That.
I think I'll get a shield and then everyone has a little thing and everyone's just happy.
Not everyone has a little thing. Only the winners. Like, let's not cheapen the trophy before we've been bought.
We're only going to need one name.
Yeah, so well done, guys. The people doing Keyword Countdown. There's one dude in the picture who looks like he doesn't want to be in the photo.
There's a couple of guys that look like they definitely lost.
What is this?
Cedric, you nerd. Anyway, so this comes from Marcus Fry from Dorset. If you would like me to set another list, please let me know. I love doing this sort of stuff. I'm a movie loving nerd.
Oh, he will be in touch.
Yeah, hopefully.
Gav will be in touch for more.
Just send him. Don't wait for me to ask you to send him. Just send him.
It's not like he's going to pay you. Fucking hell.
Oh, that's not happening, yeah. Here we go. So, if you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorised their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done, what Marcus Fry's done, is taken five films, written 10 keywords. You guys at home and you guys here have to guess what the film is by those keywords. Film number one. I almost read out the name of the film.
Oh,
I was so close to doing that. It's unbelievable. You know, like when things slow down, you're like,
Red's anyway. The Lost Ark. Fuck you, Marcus.
Film number one, Ancient Greece.
Troy.
Oh, the other one.
Severed Head.
300. 302.
Fisherman.
Ooh.
Chimera.
Jason the Argonauts.
Pegasus.
Fucking. Oh, Percy Jackson the Lightning Thief.
Bare-chested male.
Oh, I thought I was going to smash that.
Sequel to remake.
Sequel to remake. Clash of the Titans 2. I don't know what it's called.
Greek mythology.
Return of the Titans. Rise of the Titans. Origins of the Titans.
Zeus.
Titans are back.
Is it that?
Electric Titans. Final keyword. Titan.
What's it called?
Ancient Greece, Severed Head, Fisherman, Chimera, Pegasus, Bare-chested Male. That's one of my favourites. Sequel to remake, which I think that's a really cool thing.
That's brilliant.
Greek mythology, Zeus, Titan.
Robert the Titan.
Wrath of the Titans. Unlucky boys.
Fuck this.
Here we go.
Marcus, you've got a lot to answer for.
Film number two. Hang on, man. No, I'm just checking something.
Is there a theme? Oh. Is there a theme to them?
There is a theme.
Okay.
And this is why I chose to read out this one first. New York City.
Ghostbusters.
Escape from New York.
Death of Parents.
Ooh. Rosemary's Baby.
One-Armed Man.
The Fugitive.
Scene during end credits.
Split?
Jumping from height.
Spider-Man.
Man on
Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3. Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 2. Any of them.
One on
5
man.
Points to Joe.
Bloody lizard, eh?
Masked Hero. Aunt-nephew relationship. Death of Uncle. Lizard. Spider.
A lizard.
Film number 3. Returning character with different actor.
James Bond.
Young Indiana Jones.
Title spoken by character.
Goldfinger.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Man with the Golden Gun. Oh, Octopussy.
Fuck's sake.
Scar.
View to a Kill.
Oh, which one's he in?
Scar.
Drug Lord.
Spectre.
Doctor No. Oh, wait, no. Return. Fuck. Thunderball.
Shark Pool.
I don't know what that one is. There's a million of them. What's Roger Moore's first one?
Death of a Friend.
Octopussy.
I wrote
Casino
all of these
Card
the
Game.
License to Kill.
Casino Royale.
Royale.
There you go.
License to Kill.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Well done, Joe.
10, 6, 5.
Well, I know. I just got that wrong.
10,
I mean,
8, 7,
I got
6,
done
5.
On Titans.
You got done, mate. You got absolutely done.
Thing is, you had who was James Bond from the beginning.
Yeah, but like,
there's
too many of them. Of them.
Imagine if your favorite film was Licence to Kill, right? You would have had a first thing.
Bond's not that good, is it?
Imagine
as a whole.
Oh, there's a lot of shite in there.
I haven't seen a lot of James Bond because I hated it.
It's not.
I don't like a lot of them.
I don't understand. I don't understand the love.
I like Skyfall.
That's good.
Skyfall's brilliant.
Skyfall's the best
wicked.
One.
Isn't it like something like Americans don't like Skyfall?
Everyone doesn't like Skyfall.
Bloody pasted by all the Americans at like mate. When we went to San Francisco.
Oh, they still
once.
Go on about it,
they still
yeah.
like still to this day go on about how Casino Royale's better than Skyfall.
Oh, idiots. Have you watched that recently?
But I don't get it when they're always like, oh, it's great because they really grounded James Bond. It's like, go back. He defibrillates himself using this
car.
Do you know what's? Do you know what's?
There's loads of crazy stuff when
we get to E3.
You know what's feels so much better?
You know what's aged badly?
What?
Parkour.
Yeah.
You look at massively. Parkour now, you're like,
it's just running, isn't it?
Yeah,
running.
It's just running on like, tall stuff.
Nothing is as good in Skyfall when he's just running across London.
Yeah,
and while Judi Dench is reading out Tennyson.
Is Skyfall
the one so good?
Is Skyfall the one that starts with the Day of the Dead thing?
That's
no,
Spectre.
That's Quantum of
No, it's Spectre. I think Spectre.
Yeah, I haven't seen Spectre.
That bit is amazing. And
yeah,
Spectre,
like, there is some good bits in Spectre, yeah. But like, I don't know, it kind of it's almost amazing, like it's almost like Sam Mendes made Skyfall, and then he's like this one, he's like, I'm gonna do one of those old Bonds, yeah. But with my sensibility, like style.
Weird, isn't it?
It's weird.
Here we go. Film number 4. Englishman Abroad.
James Bond. No, never mind. Talented Mr. Ripley?
Younger version of character.
Johnny English.
Broken eyeglasses.
One of my friends is in Johnny English.
1980s.
The Hulk.
Eyeglasses is a weird word.
Character name in title. The broken eyeglasses is important as well. Character name in title.
Johnny English?
Athletic training.
Eddie the Eagle?
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Well done.
Well done, Joe.
That's good, man.
80s.
You and I both watched that on Plane T3.
My dad's in that. Back of his head.
Oh, that's not insider trading. You can't have that, man.
That's a good film.
Drinking Milk, British Olympic Committee, Winter Olympics, Ski Jumper.
That's on Netflix.
Final film.
Yeah, it's just come on.
Joe's got a...
Oh, he's belting.
14-point lead.
Kissy.
There we go.
I don't know what that is. Is that my thing now?
Just walk away.
I will be so impressed if one of you gets this.
Okay.
Title spoken by character.
Johnny English.
Sailor.
Hollywood sign. Natural disaster.
Volcano.
San Andreas.
Yeah.
Joe's
8
get it engraved.
Other clues. Rescue. Hoover Dam. Drowning rescue. Rock slide. Falling through floor. Earthquake.
When you say rock slide, yeah. Do you mean
him sliding across the floor? Yeah,
it's the rock slide.
San Andreas fault. There we go. Well done.
You didn't think one of us was going to get San Andreas when it ends with San Andreas.
Oh, no, at the end. I knew you'd get that, but if you didn't get it before. Like, I was pretty... I don't think anyone has seen that film, have they?
No, I haven't seen it.
I've seen it on play.
Is it good?
It's all right. Like, rock pulling people out of buildings falling over.
Better than Baywatch, mate.
What's your Reed Gav's review on IGN? 4.8.
Well, now they don't have to, Joe.
Don't propagate that idea.
What's the clue? What's the link?
Wrath of the Titans.
What's this?
License to Kill.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Eddie the Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle.
San Andreas.
San Andreas. Different professional sportsmen appear in each.
It's good.
I have no idea if that's true.
I'm going to keep that in the bank.
Is it quite a tenuous link? Is
nope.
It very, it's quite obvious.
It's very good.
Roger Moore's in all of them.
Nope. It's not. It's Timothy Dalton.
I don't remember.
Lizards. People with one arm.
It's... This is from Marcus Fry's voice. He says... Each movie has a connection to Wales.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Marcus! Why is he encouraging him?
I did give you a little clue at the beginning when I went, he's got a really good link, and this is why I've chosen him as the first one. Mm. Wrath of the Titans was filmed there. The other four have a Welsh actor in.
Oh, shit.
Reece Evans in Amazing Spider-Man, Timothy Dalton in License to Kill, Keith Allen in Eddie the Eagle, Ewan Griffith in... What's the other one? San Andreas.
Marcus... You are part of the problem.
Well done, Joe. You fucking nailed that, man.
Thanks, man.
22 points from this week. That's pretty good.
Just drop that.
Well, the film's been made in Wales.
Quite a lot.
Any good ones?
What's the best one that's been made in Wales? Well, Jurassic World 2 right now.
Really?
It's been made there, in the Brecon Beacons.
You've seen, like, Bryce Dallas Howard tweeting, like, a picture of just walking through the woods going, Wales. Do they shoot? But it looks like really British woods. So what's that going to serve as?
Don't know.
Is Jurassic World 2 set in Britain?
Oh my god, can you imagine if it was actually set in Wales?
Goldblum eating
that's where they that's where they relocate them.
Yeah,
it's like that when it's like when the English built that reservoir.
Oh, imagine
all the Welsh people have to leave because they're filling up Wales with dinosaurs.
Imagine that slightly like vaguely xenophobic idea of like a Welshman not understanding Goldblum or just being like, what's this guy?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Right, let's have some feedback then. If you want to get in touch with us, you can ign_ukfeedback@ign.com. I'll start things off this week. This is from Andrew W.A. No, at hotmail.com. No, fuck.
Right.
I was keeping it together so well.
You're cutting that out.
I got it out, haven't I?
Bleep it.
Anyway, make him work for yourself.
Who says, I'm writing from New Jersey, America. Brackets, no, I don't know what's wrong with the president. Because of you, I just watched Mindhorn on Netflix. And two things. One, fucking amazing.
Correct.
Like if a bad TV show was a good movie. Two, Isle of Man looks absolutely beautiful. Love the podcast. I'm not drunk, you're drunk.
So, also, I love that that's sent on East Coast time, midnight. Like, fucked. And it comes home, the first thing he thinks is,
Mindhorn is great.
Just tell her it's fucking limey best is what I think.
I've never been to the Isle of Man, but I reckon it'd be a good laugh.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
We should go there for a little holiday. We're going to Edinburgh.
I watched a thing called Britain's Roughest Pubs, and one of them was on the Isle of Man, so I always just think of that.
You can't call rats on Isle of Man.
Why?
Called Longtails. It's
nice.
He's getting buzzed.
We've got to go. All right, go on. What have you got, Joe?
I've got a message from Andre Williams at gmail.com. That's not it. Andre says, what's up, IGN UK podcast? With an exclamation mark.
Great.
Huge fan, first time writing in.
Sweet.
I recently was able to play and finish The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and I have to say, it did not disappoint. With Ocarina of Time being the first game I ever owned, Zelda games have always been a big part of my life. Game could have been absolute garbage, and I still probably would have enjoyed it, because it was a Zelda game. Another example of this would be Final Fantasy VIII. Objectively not a great game, but I still enjoyed that you guys know you are going
to... I thought it was Final Fantasy XIII.
It's Final Fantasy XIII.
Yeah.
Also, you've stopped highlighting in a really weird place that makes no sense at all. Why have you done that?
By the lines.
Right.
Just read all the rest of that.
Let's start all of this again. Another example of this, for me, would be Final Fantasy XIII.
You can't blame me for you not understanding
the rules, by the way. That's totally my fault. That's totally my fault. Can't wait for Star Wars Episode 13 this year. Objectively, not a great game, but I still enjoyed playing it because I'm invested in the Final Fantasy series. I was wondering if there are any game, movie, or TV series that you guys know you're going to play or watch, old or new, that you know are not objectively good, but are going to love anyways because you like the subject matter.
I don't know about it not being objectively good, but I know I will bum anything David Fincher does.
Yes.
Like Gone Girl, it's not a great film.
Yeah.
But
should have been the miniseries.
I've watched it so many times.
Really?
I've watched it so many times.
That's a long one.
Like, same like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is not.
Oh, I love that film.
I love it, but when you look at it, you're like, is this good? I'm not sure. Like, that's the thing. I'm not sure if it's good because I just bum everything that he does.
That's amazing.
But
also, he has made the best film in the 21st century.
What? Alien 3. Zodiac's amazing.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
I watched it the other week.
There you go.
I was hungover.
I need to rewatch that.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing.
Get the Blu-ray as well because there's that mad documentary on there.
Oh, you've told me about that before.
Yeah,
I've never watched it.
9 hours long. Anything David Fincher does, I used to be like that with the Coen brothers, but then Hail Caesar is genuinely the worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
I've still not watched that, but Burn After Reading killed my belief in them.
I didn't mind that.
Burn After Reading.
I think you can see where they're heading with that.
Yeah, the
dildo chair's funny, but beyond that, come on.
Yeah.
Horrible business.
Rubbish. You and I just look at each other during Hail Caesar going, and people around us like, ha ha ha.
I wanted to beat people up.
And I
like, generally, I heard one person was laughing like three rows behind me. I'm going to fucking chin him because he's not laughing properly.
The laugh is like, oh, how well observed.
Has people laughing at Shakespeare? People who laugh at Shakespeare plays. It's like, no one actually understands the joke. Come on.
Shut up.
Grow up.
The funniest line from Shakespeare is the one that they use in Peep Show. It's like, neither a legender nor a borrower be.
He's getting mugged.
I once laughed at a production of Much Ado About Nothing, but it was nothing to do with what was being said. It was just Tamsin Grieg falling over.
I watched the same one. That production's incredible. No, it traveled all over.
Yeah.
It was the one where
I watched
it was
in Newcastle,
set. It was as if it was in Cuba.
Yes.
I watched it twice.
Or same one.
So
did she fall over? Was he part of the thing?
She's just funny physically.
She was very good. Her and the Benedict guy.
Yeah, the Benedict was great.
Both of them were brilliant. Wow. What a production.
Okay, what things then do you guys forgive quite a lot? Dynasty Warriors, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a very boring answer for me, but Dynasty Warriors, I know I'm going to love it every time. I just like, I like that story. I like how stupid all those characters are. It's just nice. Makes me feel good inside.
Daniel,
love it.
You scored Jurassic World higher than I would have.
Yeah.
But I think you
enjoyed it. That's not what you said at the time.
No. No, it isn't. I hadn't seen it when you scored it.
I don't mind that. Like, a lot of people still don't like that, but I liked it.
I like some of it, but I don't like some of it.
So what you're saying is he's a Jurassic Park apologist and he doesn't have real opinions?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Can't be trusted. No, I agree.
Yeah. That's me. Hello.
Anything else?
What else that a bum?
Yeah. Is it anything that, like...
What's just trash? Good trash.
Yeah, that's the thing, like...
You watch a lot of Bullseye? That is good.
You be careful what you say next, because the other day one of the prizes on Bullseye was cheesecake mix.
Is that real?
Yeah, cheesecake mix is one of the prizes.
I kind of feel like
a Snoopy phone.
I feel like Jonathan Creek for a while. We both were, but then like over Christmas, we kind of text each other going, oh, shit.
I think the first two, but there is a lot.
There's more.
Yeah,
shit,
well, I think we're apologists for J. Creek.
I reckon I could enjoy any episode of Midsummer Murders with John Mills.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
It's good.
Ooh, it's good, really, man. Good. It's one where Imelda Staunton's like a horny lady. It's crazy.
Hello.
she goes rumpy in the woods.
Right. So those are our answers for you. Name. What's your
final one?
No, I got one as well.
Oh, you got
one. Yeah, we're
good highlighting on that. Paulie's highlighted all of your email, so that means it's a
bit of it says from Paul.
So that means it's a certified banger. He goes, sup boys and maybe girl, in response to films with dates that you were discussing in the last podcast, my longest relationship, about 7 years.
That's bragging
big time.
Right,
big time, Charlie.
So I've had a 7-year relationship.
Same as
went
mate.
Down the shitter.
Same.
Yeah, so you know,
wouldn't watch much to do about nothing afterwards.
Could all go wrong. Started by watching National Lampoon's Adam and Eve. I've never seen that. Adam and Eve. By far, one of the worst films I've ever seen. Mm. But one part has stayed with me since. There's a scene where they discuss how to wipe your ass. Whether you stand up to wipe or do it while sitting down. So I guess what I'm wondering is, what way do you wipe your ass?
Stand up.
Sit down.
Do you?
Always sit down.
How do you get... Well, I don't get it.
You sit down, you bend.
Nah.
Do you stand up?
I stand up.
I don't know if I'm going to say... I put a foot on the seat.
What?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You put a foot on the seat?
Yeah.
I've never... You're weirder than us.
Yeah, I am. Like I've conquered
it. Yours makes more sense to me than yours. Standing up,
you closed
it. It feels like it's going to smear.
Well, no, because I use...
apparatus.
I use a wet wipe to wipe it first, and then I use a dry afterwards.
I really don't like using wet wipes.
Really?
It makes me feel weird.
No, but that's why I use a dry.
Like a big baby.
Even the process of doing it feels weird to me.
I had a poo the other day that was so bad, I immediately jumped in the shower afterwards. Because I was just like, this can't, my pants ain't coming up.
I remember like,
I had to jump in the shower, and it was a sit down. Like, I started standing up, I was so hungover. I started standing up, and then I had to sit down in the shower.
Get the pressure cleaner.
A friend of mine once went to another friend of mine's house. No toilet tissue, baby wipes. Used cotton wool.
Oh,
just like handfuls of cotton wool.
That's not ending well, is it?
No. I don't think it did.
Grim. More importantly, what's the worst film you've ever watched on a date?
We kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
Did we?
Maleficent was bad.
Oh, yeah.
On a date specifically...
I can't think, don't go to bad films
more than
But I'm also just thinking about like a shit film. I watched Trainwreck on technically a date, but that was just like the film was bad, but she hated it as well.
Oh, so I think I watched Magicians, the post peep show. Yeah. That was fucking crap.
A friend who I used to work with, she took, it's not a date because it was the intern, but like it was like the in, like I used to work
not
a
count,
total film.
It?
No, it wasn't a date. Oh, it was like, okay. But it's just like a really funny thing.
Right. Okay.
And she had to, so the intern came to work a total film. They used to get interns every 2 weeks, and they would be there for 2 weeks. And like, if you're doing like journalism, that thing, like obviously we're going to work for a big magazine, a total film is a pretty big thing. And obviously going to go see like loads of different films. And she had to take the intern. She was like, oh, come along and see this film. And she took him to see Snowtown. That's a heavy old film. And it was only the two of them in the screening as well. So they both like sat in the middle of the thing and then watched this absolutely harrowing film together. And just like the intern was just like,
on a wider level, what's the worst film you've ever seen in the cinema?
Trainwreck's up there.
Oh, that's really harsh.
I can't remember. What was the CGI?
Hail Caesar's terrible.
What about the CG Star Wars film? The one where it's like a little baby Jabba the Hutt. That was terrible.
What?
It was released in cinemas. It's a CG Star Wars movie. And Mandela it ended effect. With like a little Jabba the Hutt baby. This happened, didn't it?
I don't think it did.
Oh, man.
Mr. Deeds, Live Hard, Sell Hard. One of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. It was a Jeremy Piven vehicle. And it was him being a sort of gad about car salesman.
That's not
car salesman.
Deeds, is it? Isn't
not Mr. Deeds.
That's Adam Sandler, isn't it?
Mr. Goods, The Goods.
The Goods.
Live That's Hard, Sell was, Hard. Yeah. Mr. Deeds is also a bad
film. Awesome. There's an important postscript to Paul's missive. He says, I was surprised when I found out that Gav was white. Disappointed when I found out he was a Millwall fan.
Millwall.
West Ham fan myself, but congrats on promotion.
Cheers.
He brought it back with his Metallica tattoo, though.
Right.
There's quite a lot going on in there.
A Gav's not a Millwall fan that I'm aware of.
Nor am I that I'm aware of. I don't know. I couldn't even remember mentioning Millwall on a podcast.
Who are you? Cardiff. Fulham.
Fulham, really, but
weird.
Like, you saw a lapsed Fulham fan.
Posh
lapsed.
Well, since Chris Coleman left, basically.
if you're asking.
Because I went to uni with a bunch of guys and rugby is our sport, but we all watched football every week. So we were like, we realised in our first year that none of us actually supported a team. Mm. So we were like, oh, should we just pick a team? And at the time, Chris Coleman was at Fulham.
Fulham,
so
of course. Fulham.
Why I support Nigeria in all international tournaments.
Nice.
Because I realise that England's boring. Nigeria's fun. Because they can't defend, but they're fast.
The best thing about that, though, is when I moved to London, I got a job working in sport. And that's when Fulham went rampant in the Europa League, went all the way to the final. I went to every single home game. It was amazing.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was
so good.
What season that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was quite surprised when I found out you
were
white.
I'm not a Millwall fan.
We were thinking about this earlier because you brought up this feedback.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned Millwall once in passing on a recent...
Don't know.
And you also said you were black.
Yeah.
Paul, tell us when he said he was a black Millwall fan.
So this is the last one.
What episode was that on?
I'm only reading it out because it comes in two parts. It just made me laugh that he obviously hadn't got around. It's from Anthony Buchanan. It says, DIGN UK, all of you have continuously mocked Gav's love of the film Shattered Glass. I don't think you have.
No, we haven't.
Like, mocked it. I don't think anyone's seen it. I'm here to support Gav 100%. I seriously have never written into anything and feel so strongly right now that I'm compelled to contact all of you. I think what spurred me to action wasn't everyone's disregard for the film, but a sad moment when Gav conceded that maybe the film wasn't good after all. No, Gav, stick up for this one. You fought for Mad Men, one of the most critically acclaimed TV shows ever, and the scary picture in Witches. Now fight for this.
I knew one day you would die on a hill.
Yeah.
I didn't know it would be the Shattered Glass.
Hayden Christensen's Shattered Glass.
So I'm not sure when it's from New Jersey. So what's 5:45 a.m. in New Jersey time? That's about 11 o'clock at night, isn't it?
No, that's 12. That's quarter to one.
In the morning?
Yeah.
All right,
quarter to one in the morning.
So he sent that. That's from Anthony from New Jersey. The best thing is, fucking hell, 29 minutes later.
That's not that long, but it's long enough.
It's long
that
enough.
He's been stewing about
29 minutes later, Anthony just writes, me again. I just read back my email and I don't know if I made myself clear.
I think you did, Anthony.
Not only should Gav hold his ground, but Shattered Glass is a great movie.
I can't believe how many drunk New Jersey people.
What's happening in New Jersey?
Was it the same guy? That'd be funny.
Oh, that was your first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've chucked it away. No, different guys.
What's happening in New Jersey?
Yes, they love it. They love getting on the smash.
You absolute wasters. Get a job.
This is great. Shattered Glass is a great movie. The sequence where Glass tries to talk his way out of a tangled lie about
He's
a completely fabricated
glass.
Hacker conference is brilliant. And the last shot is one of the best I've ever seen. More acting done in the film's last 30 seconds than all of Attack of the Clones. His spelling's gone mad towards the end as well. Again, thanks, Anthony from New Jersey.
You're a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
I love you, Anthony.
He loves it. That was,
thanks, Anthony.
I love that. Just 29 minutes.
That's so funny.
He's just walking around his house in the dark.
I don't think I made myself clear.
That's one of the best things we've ever had emailed.
He's just howling about his flat in New Jersey.
Great!
If you want to get in touch with us, you can. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. We'll see you next week.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.